Hi, property lovers. This week's podcast episode is all about styling your property for sale. Is it important? Can it add value? And what are some of the do's and don'ts? We went straight to the source. Steve Gerken, member of our property lovers community and styler extraordinaire, for his take on the importance of styling.
All right. So we're about to go into the what I think is the best part of the renovation process, which is where we really get to maximize all the work you've done, you know, that empty shell, and then putting in the furniture and getting to the marketing part. But before we get into that, I just wanted to, I was just listening to Karen's story about why she moved into and chose to do mentoring. I was just sort of reflecting on my journey in the mentoring space as well. So similar to Karen, very similar time, we started around about 6-7 years ago. And for me, it was time. Like, I just sat and where you were, and I was just like, I'm working a full-time job, 50 to 60 hours a week. I'm also working, teaching group fitness classes, 15 hours a week, and also acquiring property on the side. So buy, hold, and rent. And it's just like, right, the bank's going to stop lending to me. So how am I going to manufacture money to keep my property journey going? And that's when I came across Dominique and the Real Estate Rescue Program. So that's where I started my journey about 6 years ago. And in the first year, it was it was a very slow start for me for the first 6 months, trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together and get the journey happening. But Dominique helped me get into my very first deal, which realized me about $250,000 of profit. So it was through a renovation, subdivision, and selling off the back with plans and permits. Didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. And that allowed me the freedom to then leave my job and then start flipping houses, but through the takeover techniques and real estate rescue. So then fast forward doing five of those, and then successfully securing, renovating, selling, I come across this thing called staging or styling. And I was just like, I've never really paid a lot of attention to the real estate marketing and what happens there. And I just went, this is such a crucial part of the whole process of renovating a property and selling it for a profit. And it was through our exposure and doing our renovations, we started to acquire our own bits of furniture. And then, because we always renovated with the same color scheme. For us, we were very passionate about the selection of the items and the placement of the items. And we sort of built up our own one or two house lots of furniture. And when we didn't have projects on, we started leasing that out to other people. So I was kind of like, is there a model in this, a business? I kind of want a business as well that's got good cash flow. And it was actually through a real estate agent that we'd sold a couple of houses through that we'd renovated. He came to us and said, look, there's this staging business that's come up for sale. Would you be interested in buying it? And I went, I love the thing so much. Why not? Sort of looking, it's like great cash flow. It's got existing staff, existing systems, and warehouse and stock. And I was like, it was just the perfect fit for me. So my journey sort of went off the property path a little bit into a business world, and it's through a lot of Dominique's techniques that I learned through the mentoring program and constantly sort of in the negotiation phase with homeowners, that we structured a deal together with the person who was selling the business to actually buy it. So it was a $2.1 million deal with $0 of my own money in it. So I was able to leverage the security of my existing assets and use Dom's techniques. And I put together what was like a vendor finance package for the existing owner to finance the remaining shortfall that I couldn't come up with. So here I've got now got this massive business, its own beast of staging homes, and we get the luxury of putting furniture into people's houses that they've renovated, not renovated, going to market, and just seeing the results of, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 extra in sale price just through furnishing. So that's where my journey in staging has ended up. And that was 3 years ago, almost to the day that I started that journey, and trying very hard to get back into that flipping and renovating space, which will hopefully happen in the next 12 months. So what is staging? Staging is it's part of renovating, and it's a part of real estate marketing, and it's also part of interior styling and design. So staging is actually the category that sits in the middle of all of that, which is where it all comes together and blends. So staging is about real estate marketing, essentially. So you've renovated the property, you've spent, you know, maybe, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, creating all the boxes and making them really beautiful, choosing, you know, your style, managed all your tradies, you've got a successful project, and then you need to market it. So this is where staging comes in. So what is staging? It's a formula to sell faster and for more money through using things like soft furniture and furnishings. It is part of the real estate marketing process. If you look on realestate.com, you'll find, you know, as you scroll through the pages, you're going to be naturally attracted to those properties which have like amazing photos on them. So it's that whole clickbait thing. You know, if you see something you like, you click on it, you give it more time. And once you're invested in that, you're looking at photos, you're more likely then to go to the open for inspection. It gives you the wow factor. So everybody's, you know, when you're looking at photos and you go, wow, that just looks amazing. So you're already, your senses are alert. And it's when it comes to the open for inspections, it's about those first impressions. So your first 30 seconds in the property, that's usually when the decision is for the person looking to buy the property is usually made in that first 30 seconds. It's, staging is also storytelling. So as you move through a home, the furniture and the furnishings need to communicate a story. And we, when we stage homes, are always starting with a theme and a story, and you continue it, keep it cohesive throughout the property. And it really connects with buyers. It's a done-for-you service, so you don't need to know anything. If you've got a good staging company, they will deliver for you the wow factor. So you don't need to worry about choosing cushions or furniture items or investing money in that. You pay the company, they come and they do it all. And I'll explain more about that soon. And it also stimulates the senses. So when people are buying property, it's a highly emotive time. It's usually the biggest purchase somebody does. And your whole trying to connect to them and resonate with them and communicate that this property is where they want to live. So it's the visual, it's the textures, it's the colors, it's the layouts as well that stimulates their senses, the smells as well. So talk a little bit more about that later. Not so much about taste and staging, so you don't know, licking of the furniture people. So the benefits of staging renos, it adds huge perceived value. So generally we say somewhere between 7 and 15% increase in the value of a property is quite achievable. It eliminates buyer's objections. So really easy in renos, when that floor starts to slope away, to put, you know, dining table there or something in the corner that detracts the traffic from walking around in those positions. You've just saved yourself a whole bunch of money by putting a plant in a corner that might slope away a little bit rather than paying a builder to get under the house and jack it up. So we're not saying hide the really bad stuff, but there's lots of imperfections that you can hide carefully through the use of staging. And builders, usually the worst renovators in the perspective is that they want everything perfect. So as a renovator, you're just looking to make it better than before. And you know, like if there's a little bit of a bow in a wall, put a piece of artwork on it. You don't need to take the plaster off and straighten it and put the plaster back on. So again, it just helps eliminate some of those buyer objections. It creates extra zones in the house as well. So it's really easy to add another sort of $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000 to the sale price by a carefully positioned like study nook, a little children's area and bedroom retreats and things like that. So we look at the floor plan and go, okay, well, how can we get another like living space or zone in here and help increase the value? It again emotionally connects to the buyers, as we said before, helps with flow and layout. So if you've got a really complicated floor plan, think of it like an obstacle course. So from the moment you walk through the door, there's placement of furniture to help divert the person through the home. So you're walking around tables and we think like real estate agents when we place furniture. So we want the person to be pulled through the home, and you don't necessarily know that that's happening, and guided to where they want you to go. Most real estate agents will probably lock the side door so you can't escape. So they'll have a whole strategic process about you entering the front and leaving through the front. So that way you can't sort of run off into the wilderness. And it makes properties memorable. When the agents call homeowners back on Monday mornings, they go, do you remember the home and the person's seen like 20 homes on a weekend. And usually it's like, oh, it's the one with the really nice piece of art or something like that, or the colors or the feel. So it really helps them to be memorable. And then they go, you know, you're looking for a four-bedroom home, it's like, yeah, you know, and they can sort of visualize and remember the rooms from the furnishings. Whereas when it's empty boxes, we call it hallway viewing. And when it's, when there's no furniture in a house, it's literally like somebody walks through the front door and they just walk down the hallway, head in, you know, head in, and then they're 5 seconds later they're back out the door. Whereas furniture draws people into the room, it's points of interest. It keeps the home, a prospective buyer in the home longer. So when the agent's calling the homeowner back, it's really memorable in their mind versus those homes that aren't staged. And it adds more interest, and more interest brings more buyers. So the more people that click online and view your property, that get to the open for inspection, then it becomes that whole, we've got 8 offers on the table and now I've got this fear of missing out. So it's like you start to tap into that emotional dollar of the seller. And it's really easy to justify spending another $50,000 or $60,000 to buy something that you really love. One real estate agent said to me, they break it down and go, if you live in this home for 5 years and you spend another $60,000, you break down $60,000 over 5 years, it's not that much. So, you know, that's the sort of things that staging does. Choosing the right company. I think this is a really important topic to be talking about. There's no rules and regulations around staging. So it's not an industry that has particular standards of any type. So you really got to do your research as buyer beware. So you've got to match your staging company to the price point of your home. And you need to go out and then do your research. So if you're selling, say, $1 million property, you probably wouldn't be using a startup stager who's only got maybe 1 or 2 or 3 house lots of furniture. You probably want to go with a mid-tier size company that may have 50 or 60 or 70 house lots of furniture to be able to draw on their inventory. There's also the high end. So, you know, if you're in those, you know, $3 million, $5 million dollar brackets, there's high end companies that you'll pay the price for that. So a way to be able to do some of your research is look at the size and scale of the company. So ask the people, you know, it's like, oh, how big are you? How many house lots do you have? How many staff do you have? Do you have your own trucks? Do you have your own furniture? Do you lease furniture from other people? And get a feel for it. So you've got to make sure it matches what you're trying to do. Google and Facebook reviews and photos as well as Instagram. So get on their websites and look for their photos of what they've done. Most companies will have Instagram and Facebook, but what you'll find is a lot of the smaller ones probably won't have Google reviews. So you can't read what other people have said about their company. So if they don't have Google reviews, I'd probably just be a bit cautious about jumping on board with a company that doesn't, because you don't have any sort of qualification from people that have used their service. You can also ask your agents. Your agent will generally have a preferred staging company they like to work with. But again, and it's about the kickbacks in the industry, some companies will pay for leads. So just do your own research. Again, look at the photos, look at the quality, maybe go to an open for inspection of a property that they have staged and check it out for yourself. So get 3 quotes. And, you know, when you're doing your feasibility, it's no different to getting quotes to do your bathroom or getting your electrician quotes. Get 3 quotes for your staging companies, and use that time to interview them. So ask them about their size, their scale, you know, properties they've done, and ask them about what do you think this property needs in terms of getting the maximum price and that sort of thing. And then my always say this to our clients is that cheap can be very expensive. So if you're trying to save a dollar and you cut off your nose to spite your face just to, you know, save $500, you could end up with a whole world of pain at the other end when your staging doesn't really resonate with your market. You know, you're missing out on that $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 of extra price. So, you know, for a little bit more and the cost of getting stuff a staging company, get good quality. How much does staging cost? This is a really common question that people have been asking me throughout the weekend. So I thought it's really important to put this in here. It varies. It really varies on the size and the scale of the house. Also, the quality of the furniture that needs to go in based on the price point that you're selling into. I call it 3 levels of staging. There's your cheap and cheerful, which is your small operators, and they've got a couple of house lots of furniture. They're doing it as a side hustle. A lot of real estate agents have like a wife who's got a couple of house lots on the go, and they're doing it, you know, it's a bit of a side gig. And then there's the mid-tier staging companies. So they have systems and standards and procedures and a larger inventory of stock to choose from. And they, you know, and that generally is where probably most of you will be looking. And the higher end, these are really expensive companies out there. So it's really where the elite and the prestige comes into play, which, you know, someone like Shayna Blaze has got an amazing company called Valiant, and they do really super high-end stuff, like, you know, you're really top of the line stuff. Just as an example, what the pricing and staging a three bedroom, one living, one dining at that really low end small operator, you can probably get 1200 to 2500, but you've got to be really careful about the quality. Tier two, you're probably looking for that same house about $2,500 to $4,000, and then tier three, anywhere up $7,500 plus. So you just got to match it right to where you're positioning in the market. So just on the mid-tier pricing, I think this is where most people will be sitting and looking when you're doing your renovations. So you're looking for companies that are staffed and have processes. So as a bit of an average, you're probably looking $2,200 to $2,700 for a two-bedder, three-bedder, $2,700 to $3,700, four-bedder, $3,700 to $5,500. A lot of that comes down to how big the rooms are. Do they have outdoor spaces that also need to be staged and styled? And often when you get into the bigger homes, you've got little nooks and things like that that you're putting little study spaces into. The low end, so the smaller operators, when you've got maybe a cheaper reno on the go, and you're happy to run with something a little bit cheaper, you might be looking, you know, sort of sub $3,500 for a four bedroom home. So that's sort of the pricing. But just remember, it's an investment. So it's not a cost, it's an investment. You're better to get better quality and better outcomes to get a better sale price at the other end. Payment options. So as renovators, we don't want to pay for anything now that we don't have to until later, right? So we're always trying to manage our cash flow in the middle. Most companies do pay up front before installation, which is a big hit on your renovator and your cash is going out the door. So go back and ask them and go, what other payment options do you have available? You'll be surprised at, you know, what other options are out there. So we offer a stage now pay later option, where you pay 25% before and spread the other 75% over 6 months. So we do that through a platform called Hum. Agency agreements. So when you sell your home, there's an agency agreement in place, okay? So that allows the real estate agency to take their marketing fee when you sell the house. So that you sign off on that when you sign up the property for sale. Ask the real estate agent, can you put your staging on their agency agreement, and the staging company will get paid after you've sold the house. So then you don't have to pay for anything up front. Or rarely, but it can happen, is pay at settlement. So when the house is actually sold and settled, you pay for your staging then. Very rare will you be allowed to do that, but because it's just an unknown factor. It could be 3, 6, 9 months. As a rental term, it's generally 6 weeks you're renting a staging for. That's in the peak period of the year, so spring and summer, when houses are turning over really quickly. As you start to move into cooler months, like the mid-year, and people's, you know, the property prices start to, sorry, not property prices, the time on market starts to get a little bit longer in the cooler months. I generally find most companies will offer you an 8-week rental term during that time. So again, when you're negotiating backwards and forwards during getting your quotes, ask them, what's your rental terms and what's your other option? Because they'll only tell you the one they want to give you, and go, okay, well, if that's not enough, what's the other option? And then I go, oh, we'll just give you another 2 weeks, you know, no cost, which is great. Because if you do have a property that sort of sits on the market a bit longer, you know, you've already saved yourself another sort of $500 or $600 in extended rental. If it doesn't sell within the rental term, it usually goes to a weekly amount. So, you know, our company, we charge 15%. Some companies charge 10. It's just, yeah, company dependent. So that's generally how it works around payment. But I really like the agency agreement one. So you're going in, you're getting your house staged, and you're not putting a cent down. All right, some case studies. We've got Anne-Marie and Stuart here in the room. So a lot of you have already talked to Anne-Marie and Stuart. So I was just like throughout the day, last 2 days, going, okay, how can I sort of do some case studies that relate to people in the room? So Anne-Marie and Stuart staged a property, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this one? Just 1 year ago, yeah. What's that? the date is there. It is too, 7th of February 2019, it's sold on. So Amory and Stuart, I was talking to them at a mentoring weekend, and they'd bought this house, they've renovated it, done an absolutely stunning, beautiful job. And they came to me and they said, look, we've got a quote for staging. It's $15,000. Is that really what you pay for staging? Like it's four bedroom. It's how many living areas? Three?
Four
living areas. Yep. And there's outdoor areas as well. I was like, that's crazy. You're paying $15,000. What suburb is it in? What's your target's, you know, price point? All that sort of thing. And it's just like, no, you should be aiming for somewhere in maybe 5,000, 6,000. So I think in the end, it was about 6,000, 6,000 to stage this beautiful home. So they did all the hard yards, turning this place into an absolute stunner. And when we talk about the clickbait factor of this, like this is an awesome photo to be hitting realestate.com. Like you're scrolling through, if you're looking to buy a home and you see this, you're like, wow, you know, it's like, it's a big home. I can see the high pitched roof, you know, beautiful kitchen, you know, just the little stools and you know, the little things placed here. So you're starting to hear a bit of a story. You're seeing the colors. So it gets people interested and it gets them looking at the photos. And it's just, again, it's really beautifully put together. So this is not my work. This is the staging company that Stuart and Anne-Marie got. So you see everything is connected. So you got these colors and the light that they've chosen. The grout and the splashback is black. So you're seeing the black frame in the art, the black in the chairs. You know, there's timber in the tops of the stools, which really softens it up. Timber top table, black chairs. So it's starting to really communicate a style and a story. And when it get that really cohesive flow, you walk in there and you're just like, wow, this is amazing. Like it just feels so good. And again, so this is their bathroom. A really good way to put art in bathroom is through tiling. Bathrooms are so boring. If you just do plain white tiles, you need to somehow zhuzh it up a bit and give it a bit of personality. So tiles, feature tiles are really good. As are like, you know, things like towels and little accessory items and things like that in bathrooms, just help to break it up a bit. Another thing you can do is put little stools with a little bit of fluff and some accessory items on the side and things like that, just to help take the starkness and the coldness off. But the staging company that's done this for Anne-Marie has done really well because they've picked up a lot of the tones and all the features. And again, so you see the black and the white, you know, soft fabrics in the couch, and it's picking up all of the work that they've done. So staging enhances what you've done. So it should never detract from what you've done. So how, when you're working together with a staging company, you need to come prepared. So if most staging companies are not mind readers, funnily enough. So you need to actually communicate with them what you want, but you don't need to choose the furniture. So when you're bringing a company in, you're looking at your vision. If you have a vision for your property, jump on their website and grab five photos of the things that you like about what they've done and go, I think this really sort of resonates for my type of property. Very quickly, they'll be able to go, I know what you're looking at. I know where you're sort of aiming. Otherwise, if you leave it all to them, they're going to put their taste and flavor into your renovation work. So communicate your vision visually, okay? Show them photos of their work, and you might even get some of their furniture that you've found. You've got to communicate to them as well who your ideal buyer is going to be for that property. So is it a family? So when you're dressing your home for sale, it might be that you need to have a couple of fun rooms that resonate with children. You know, is it a two-bedroom apartment? So you can go a level of sophistication with that. You've really got to tell them who your ideal buyer is. Give them the marketing brief. So what have you been communicating with your agent about who's going to buy this property? Tell your staging company that, so they can at least start to then select a lot of the furniture items with that in mind. Walk through the home with the staging company and just go, look, the high impact areas need to be here, here, and here. This is where I've invested the money. This is what I see as the hero shots for my home. You know, what are you going to do with this space? How are you going to lay this room out? Can we get a study nook in here? What do you think? You know, can we create more value? The other thing as well there is TVs versus art. TVs, there's nothing interesting about a black piece of plastic on a wall, but artwork sends a whole different message. So there's sort of a trend towards removing TVs from staging and using art over like an entertainment unit or a console. And it really helps to allow the freedom for a company to style a home or stage a home without centering it around a TV. And you've got to work that out with your demographic, because certain demographics might be appropriate to be using TVs because it may be a little bit less sophisticated market. It's in the forefront of their mind. It's about, how do I place the kids in front of the TV? Where am I going to put the TV? It's like one of those burning questions. So you've still got to be able to show them where you can put one, but it doesn't have to be a TV. Itemize quotes as well. So when you're working with your staging company, get them to itemize your rooms and what they're going to put into it. Because if you don't get itemized quotes, you just generally get one figure and this is what you're going to get. So you can't compare that to the next company or the next company. Fix-ups, policies and costs. This varies greatly within our industry. So most of the time you're on the hook if you don't like something. So most companies will go, if you don't like it, it doesn't matter, because it's not about you, it's about who you're selling to. And that's a really hard thing to do when you're a renovator, to let go of your baby and let somebody else take control of it. So check out what their fix-up policies are. We'll fix anything we feel that we is not quite right or doesn't quite communicate the right message, or maybe we've interpreted something wrong, at no cost. But some companies will just hard line. It's another call out fee, $500 to send the truck, you know, pick up a couple of items, swap them out. So just check that out. So it's always a really gray area. DIY staging. Who here thinks they want to do their own staging? Put your hand up. Yeah, there's a couple of people in the room. Awesome. It's not for the faint-hearted, so I won't spend too much time on it, because there's not a lot of people in the room looking to do their own DIY staging. It's not for the faint-hearted at all. So there's a lot of time, money, energy, and effort that goes into trying to put a cohesive-looking property together that connects and flows, and it's going to hit the market the way you want it to. So if you've got skills in that area and you've got access to product in that area and you really want to go down that path, go for it. On your first renos, probably not. Second or third, maybe. Fourth or fifth, you might want to start building up key pieces of your own furniture items to start bringing the cost down. If you use a formula to renovate, it's always the same color, you might actually start collecting your own stuff along the way. But just be aware, you know, it could take a good 3-4 days to put a house lot of furniture together and put it in the room. Then you've got all your costs when you're doing DIY staging. It's like truck hire in and out to remove the furniture. And you know, it can be 3 to 5 days to put it in. Take a day or two taking it out when it's just yourself and maybe one other. And then you've got storage costs or on selling the when you're done. It's a lot of, again, it's just a lot of effort sitting on Facebook trying to sell couches and chairs and stools and all that stuff. Fashions and trends change very quickly. So larger staging companies or mid-tier staging companies can kind of update their stuff to stay relevant. So you've just got to factor that in if you're doing it yourself. Fading. Every item of furniture that's got fabric on it or something like that fades over time. You know, sun bleaching. So you can spend, you know, easily $300 or $400 of cushions at Adairs or something like that. And, you know, 6 weeks later, they've got fade marks all over them. So you always say, just go factor that in. And it can be its own little money pit if you go down that path as well. It's really easy to justify, we'll just go and buy another chair or dining table or something like that. And you, next thing you know, you've, you know, just spend another $1,000 that you don't need to. Top tip, 10 tips for when you're renovators. So, you know, anyone can stage a home for sale. Old, you know, older houses look great staged without renovations. And it's a good way to add value to something that's not renovated. But when you're renovating and it's your baby and you've spent all the love and labor into it, again, as I say, cheap can be very expensive. So don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Find a middle ground to get the staging that you want. Get your stager in early. So we often, when we go in, after everything's done, and we go, you probably spent a whole lot of money on stuff you didn't need to, like wall lights and pendant lights and things like that. Use lamps. Hire lamps, $5. You know, two lamps by the side of a bed. Don't go spend, you know, best part of $300 putting in a couple of, you know, feature lights on the wall or pendant lights in the ceiling. You know, use it through the soft furnishings or the items through staging to create the same ambiance you're looking for. And also, we see things from a buyer's perspective. So if you go, oh, I'm unsure if I should do that, ask your stager as they come in and go, you know, I'm thinking about doing this and spending this money. What do you think? And we go, you know, well, why? Is it going to add more value to your house? You know, put a study nook in there. Why put up a wall and create another boundary or barrier, that sort of thing? So get them in early. Install on the day prior to photos as well. So give yourself an extra day in case, you know, there's anything that you're not happy about with your staging, or there's something you want to fix with the staging. So just tweak it a little bit yourself. So do it the day before your photos. And open up and leave them to it. So let the company come in, let them set up. Don't follow them around. It puts pressure on the people in the room. Don't be changing things as they're putting them down. Let them set it all up. And that happens. We've got people like following us around. Sometimes it's like the whole family. It's like, you know, they're looking around the corner. So it's quite a fun little process. But, you know, open up and leave them to it. Let them sort the problems out and get it fixed before you come back. They'll know if there's an issue and they'll get it fixed. And then you come back and you get the first impression of what a buyer's going to be like when they first walk into your property. So don't go in with the critical mindset on, you're going to pull it all apart. Go in and think, I'm a buyer seeing this property for the first time. Walk through it all and just absorb what's going on. And I always say do 3 walkthroughs. Do that first and just go, so what does it feel like? Does it connect with you? Does it resonate with you? Walk through a second time and just look and go, where's my eye going when I walk through the property? Where's it landing? Is it landing on the hero piece of the room, or am I drawn to something that's not quite right in a corner somewhere? And then think about taking stuff out. So it's really easy to overstage a property and fill it with stuff. You know, Shana talked Friday morning, about, you know, you don't have to fill every corner. And quite often staging companies will come in and they'll put everything in and fill every corner. And it's often what you take away that starts to really open up the spaces. And so just be aware of the overstaging. I see throws on 4 chairs in a room. It's like, you know, it's like throw central, or like, you know, 5 cushions on the couch and then there's a cushion on every chair. It's like, you know, you don't know where to look. It's like a packet of Skittles. Everything's a different color. So it's like, you know, tone it down. 2 colors maximum per room. Even try and get down to 1 color where you can. Just be really simple about simplistic. So try and remove things. And then once you're happy with it, maybe adjust a little bit of the layout, then walk through it again and see how you feel. And then as I think, Karen, I can't remember what you called it, but it's like, you know, get everybody else's opinion and come in and get them to walk through it, see what they think and what they're seeing when they walk through. Other tips as well is live greenery. It really creates a different feel inside a property. So, you know, from Jamie Jury's perspective, everything probably has to be living, basically. But, you know, in the world of staging, it's all about long life greenery, which is code for fake greenery. So if you've got the time and the resources and you've got real plants, put them in. It makes a big difference, but your staging company is probably not going to provide you live plants. Candles, lamps, and blinds. Candles are great in properties, you know, very low scented candles like vanilla with a really neutral smell. And I know, Lisa, you hate vanilla, don't you? Yeah. Lisa and Jeff hate vanilla. So when I said that to them about, you know, do we put candles in or not? I said, if you do something really low and neutral and don't put a candle in every room, because you're going to overwhelm those people who've got a heightened sense of smell. And by the end of the house, they're just like, I have to get out of here. I've got a headache. But it's a good way to hide things like pet odors and things like that, you know, cooking smells. Not that you'd have that in a reno, but in some of the other houses, it's really helpful. It's also a really soft lighting and it gives a very warm feeling towards people. So you're trying to connect into those senses. So bathrooms that can be very cold and sterile, you know, having a candle burning is a nice way to soften it up. Lamps and blinds as well. We use a lot of lamps. Most houses, probably about 10 or 15 lamps in a house. By the time you do 2 in every bedroom, lamps in the lounge, it's really soft lighting and it glows. So again, it's that sense of feeling warm that really makes people feel safe and connected. Blinds as well. So when you're renovating, quite often you don't have to put any window treatments on. Just think about, is there a privacy element about this particular room? So, you know, if you're on a main road, you probably want to put some window furnishings on. Okay, but if you're in a backyard and there's no one looking in on the property and it's a beautiful setting, you may not need to put window furnishings on that particular room. It might be a secondary or third room or a study or something like that. But if you do use any kind of window furnishings, the next part is about sort of setting up the property for open for inspections. I always say to our clients, don't leave it to the agent to set the home up for the open for inspection. Get in there, turn all the lights on, all the roof lights, the lamps, tilt or any blinds or shutters in the room so that they're, you know, the light, soft light's coming in. Make sure everything's neat and tidy, fix up the pillows, straighten anything up, or, you know, outdoor settings as well, leaves all over the outdoor settings. They might have gotten wet. So just, you know, fix all that stuff up so that your agent's not coming in under time pressure, trying to set up the house for sale while they've got people coming to the front door. You want them there focused on the buyers as they come in. So get in there and set up and turn everything on and get everything ready for the agent so they can walk in and do their job. I've seen it lots of times where, you know, people have invested a lot of money in staging and it's like a 4-bedroom home, multiple level. They ain't got time to walk around and do everything. You know, they get to the first two rooms of the house and then they're servicing people come through the door. So do that bit for them. Photos and copy as well. That's a huge one. Don't let your real estate agent determine your copy on the website and your photos that are going on without you approving it. It's just some really terrible decisions in that you've spent all the money and you've got these really awful photos going up. If you are doing DIY staging as well, here's just some hacks for those that do. So if anyone does want to grab a photo, go for it. Kmart's great for mirrors. They're like $29. They're round. They soften the whole place up. IKEA's great for neutral cushions, $7. Adair's for a feature cushion. So get a couple of IKEA ones and then stick an Adair's one in front. It doesn't cost you that much to do. Kmart's great for Target and for choppy boards, kitchenware, canisters, books. Kmart's okay for some rugs. Again, you wouldn't put it in anything over $1 million, I wouldn't think, but it's okay in some certain situations. Facebook Marketplace is great. So just, you know, people giving away beds, doubles, queens, kings, all that sort of stuff. SK Designer Living's a good place to get tables and chairs, outdoor settings for friends and family, and 5-year-olds for photography. When you're doing your DIY staging, think like a 5-year-old. You want to be down at this height all the time, looking at the room and what's it going to look like, because that's where they're going to photograph it, from that height, not from up here. So you're not looking down on it, you're looking at it from a 5-year-old. So think like a 5-year-old and set it up like a 5-year-old. Again, DIY staging top 10 tips. Start with a floor plan, draw your high impact zones, think about your seating ratios, how many bedrooms, how many seats do I need in the living area? Do some area research and have a look at what else is going on in the area. Copy and replicate what you see. Again, there's just a few other tips in there as well that we sort of talked about already. Just really quickly, just some very quick case studies. It's about 2 more minutes. So this little reno here, this is what it used to look like before it was renovated. And this is what it looked like after. So when you're doing layouts, a good thing to do is get your floor plan and then get your staging company to draw in where they're going to put the furniture. So on the second one there, you can sort of see the layout, so you know how it's going to be set up. And then just highlight your high impact zones. So all the yellow things. So this here is the same house renovated afterwards with furniture. And so again, the high impact zones, the artwork. It's got some flow challenges. It's a very small house. So we need to open it up and make it feel big and not too much furniture. Really lightweight furniture. So glass, thin line legs, elevated couches. So they sit up off the floor, creates a sense of space under it, makes it feel bigger. Bedrooms as well. So again, when you walk through the door, you want to think about where's your eye going, where's the impact points. So when you walk through the door in this room, the art's up on the far corner, so it draws your eye to it. Bed head to soften it up, and a little chair in the corner, because that's one of the first things you see. That's just a secondary bedroom, really simple. So if you need a default method to go to this. Just one piece of art in the center, cushions, layer them up, euros at the back, standards, and then your feature cushions, just a bit of white waffle doona or something like that, and little lamps on the side. So this is Lisa and Jeff's reno. So this was there before. This is Lisa and Jeff over here. This is their after. This is what they did to this beautiful property. They had great staging on this particular project. So this is their after their backyard, and this lightweight outdoor look for furniture is really great. So you can see through it, so it's not obstructing. So they've chosen that really well. The contrast is white, so it pops on the color scheme they've got, but it doesn't obstruct from that view back into the house. So I think they've done really well with that. That's the view out the other way. So they've really, you know, framed it with the drapery on the side, and they've got that big long backyard shot with that. But if that was a big heavy rattan setting, you've blocked off all of that backyard and all the work you've done. That's before the backyard. That's the after. Always paint your fences. That's really important. important. It pops, makes the colour pop. This is their bedroom, one of the bedrooms they did. Again, so you've got all these elements that are tying into the furnishings and all the colours. Again, this is what I was talking about before. So they've done feature lights, which is great. They look beautiful. But sometimes if you don't invest in that and you can't afford to put that into your budget, put lamps on the side of your beds and hire them. You know, it costs you nothing to do that. Well, not much. Again, it's another bedroom shot, just nice and soft. It reflects in the mirror. It makes the room feel bigger. It's quite a small space that sort of stretches the room. This is another case study of another student, Nicole, who's one of our real estate rescues. So that's floor plan for that little one. It's a three bedder, painted the kitchen. This is the staging, very small living area. So we're able to put in a modular, but not obstruct the view out the window. Very tight, small glass top table with very thin legs. So it's see-through artwork instead of the TV, because there's nowhere else to put artwork. So it's making the room more interesting, giving us color to work with in the cushions. Very small dining space, because there's a door that opens to the outside here. So it's glass top. There's not much to it. It's very, very narrow, so it's appropriate for the area. So we can get a whole living area, living and dining, into the small space through using smaller furniture. Bedrooms, so there's sort of a little bit of a Hamptons feel. There's also an older market in this area that would be buying this particular property, or a young family. So we went with something in between, with a headboard and, you know, the little French provincial chairs on the side. Fun room for kids, something just in the artwork that's fun and just bring a little bit of colour in. That's all you really need. Adding a little desk or study desk adds, you know, just that perception that the room's a bit bigger. It can fit a desk as well as a bed. Bathrooms can be really boring and very cold. So this one here, this is Nicole's bathroom, so white, you needed sunglasses when you walked into it. And it was, you know, spent a lot of money on it. She'd put a whole new bathroom in and reconfigured it and everything. And you see this little gray in the pattern of the tile. It's just picking it up in the artwork and some of the soft furnishings as well. So we're able to just break that whole room up by just using one little piece of art. This is one more. Yep, last one. So Kaz is keen to get back up and get the clicker off me. It's another student as well. So this is another one of their renos before. Floor layout. So it was three bedroom, couple of living areas. This is what it looked like before. Still staged by the look of it. It's actually like some of the furniture is actually placed quite well. Two unmatching lamps. That's okay. It's in some situations. This is the after. So again, a cosmetic profit in this, I can't remember. But so this is a coastal property. So again, it's staging to your market. So coastal themed artwork. This is an entry that's not an entry. So the door's here, but we've sort of defined and created an entry when people walk in. Soft fabrics and some texture in the cushioning. Very slimline chairs. You know, it's not even, you probably wouldn't even sit on that. But it looks like a chair. Like visually, it solves the problem for someone. Small coffee table. You know, it's actually a really lovely property. The splashback tile there, that's painted. So she actually did a stencil on painted tile. So it looks like, you know, the new modern tile, but it's actually tile paint. So pattern on tile, it's like artwork. Cool. And just finishing up, there we go. Lounge instead of a TV, get artwork, it's more interesting. Yeah. So that's pretty much how light staging works. So hopefully you got a few tips and tricks from that.